Welcome to Seagull Eagle Podcast, the only podcast where mutual respect lasts exactly as long as the opening jingle.
I'm Brighton, he's Palace, the worst pairing since VAR and common sense. In this week's episode,
a bad week for Palace fans, to be summed up in one sentence, releasing a Brighton coloured kit during a European scandal.
Meanwhile, Brighton continue their ins and outs, Tony Bloom's basically playing Football Manager on Fast Forward, and Palace have finally found their wallet with a new arrival and not a free transfer this time.
Plus all the latest news from SE25 and the South Coast, plus plenty of transfer talk from both clubs. This is Seagull Eagle.
Hello, Andy.
All right, Neil, how are you?
I am pretty good, thank you. How are you doing? How is your week been?
Like the aftermath of a car crash? I don't quite know how to put it into words, really.
You're going to have to because we've got a podcast to do.
That's a good point. That's kind of my job tonight, isn't it? I mean, look, there's worse things in the world happens,
oh, yeah.
Right? And but yes, it's been an interesting week. But do you know what I would say? I'm not particularly surprised by the outcome. Mm. But one positive.
Yeah, go on. I love a positive. Go on then, mate.
I've managed to get myself tickets for two games this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we got our Crawley Town tickets, which the whole family are going to, as well.
Nice.
I said I was going to try and do. And then this morning, I logged on and was like first in the queue, and we're going to Wembley.
Oh, blimey.
Yep. So we'll talk about that later. But yes, so that cheered me up a little bit because it reminded me that it wasn't all doom and gloom and that we were still doing cool things because of the FA Cup. So what about you, Neil? Have you had a good week?
Been lovely, mate. The sun's been out. I've been enjoying it. It's been a bit boring on the Brighton front. I mean, we haven't signed anyone this week. I mean, what's that about?
Your bank manager had a word, is what that's about.
Maybe. Yeah. But no, apart from that, it's been very good. Pre-season has started for all the players, haven't they? Everyone's back now. So that feels like the season's just around the corner. It's getting exciting. I have to be honest though, mate. There's only one place we should start this week. We're all waiting for it.
I'm not sure what's worse, Europa League or that shirt, but we'll talk. Oh, mate, honestly.
It's definitely the Europa League.
Okay, all right. No, it is. It is.
So, this week, we all know the news. We all know what's happened, but the decision was finally out by UEFA. I think it's time for you to just... I'm just going to sit back for a minute. I'm just going to let you go. I'm going to let you just vent. Say whatever you want to say. Just get it off your chest, mate, because I can see it. I can see it building in you. And then let's have a discussion about it. But come on, just first of all, what are you feeling? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I've got to try and explain this in front of a Brighton fan who's got a smirk on his face. That's what I'm feeling right now. Everyone listening to this can feel my pain from the Palace side because this is not pretty,
is
it?
I am trying to remain professional.
You don't look it. right, okay. Well, look, they've chucked us out of the Europa League, haven't they?
And they have, Andy, yes.
And I guess, you know, let's just look at the cold, hard facts of this. It could be worse.
Not by your face, it
could. No, it could. It could. No, joke aside, it could be worse, right? Because they've chucked us out of the Europa League, but in the same statement, they've said you're going in the Conference League, which was still something that was up for debate because of the whole Bromby link with one of our owners.
Yes, that was the downside to my week, if I'm honest.
Yeah, so that's made me happy by the fact that we haven't made you happy. do you know what I mean? That's one positive.
Yeah, right? Go on, carry on.
Because there's nothing, you know, the only thing kind of better in this situation about Palace's misery is that we haven't made Brighton happy. So, you know, we wouldn't want you to benefit out of our misery.
I'm a little bit happy, Andy.
Well, all right. so there's that. And then there's the other part of it, which is that for the first time since this has all happened, the club have actually acknowledged the fact that it's happened.
I mean, a bit late in the day, but yeah.
Yeah, which is, in fact, three times this week the club have acknowledged it. The first one was Mr. John Textor going on TalkSport.
Oh,
which, to be fair, I nearly missed, Neil. I nearly missed it. You text me to say, turn on TalkSport now. This is going to be interesting.
It was radio gold, in my opinion. Yeah. It was a good 25, 30 minutes of him waffling on about stuff. I mean, I'm glad he's not at my club.
Well, I mean, I mean, turning up to a TalkSport interview about Crystal Palace and Leon wearing a Botafogo t-shirt.
Yeah, I saw that.
That tells you something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So that happened. And then... obviously, the club then let out a statement.
Yeah, official statement.
An official statement.
Yeah.
And of course, then Steve Parish then does a 25-minute interview with Sky Sports, which a lot of people may have only seen the 3 or the 7-minute version, but there is three different versions out there. For Palace fans, if you get a chance, proper look into it and have a look at the 25-minute version, because I feel like that's a little bit more revealing as to what's happened. For some unknown reason, Sky haven't cut that up very well. You could have done a better job on that, Neil.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
So, yeah, look, should we talk about the statement then?
Yeah. Do you want me to read it out?
Yeah, go on, because you're better at reading than me.
Okay. No, just giving your voice a break. Right.
Thanks.
So, club statement. Crystal Palace FC are extremely dismayed by UEFA's decision to exclude the club from the Europa League. It's clear for everyone to see that we are not part of a multi-club operation and never have been. Further, with the completion of the sale of Eagle Football's shareholding to Woody Johnson, there will be zero possibility of a conflict of interest once the competition begins. We will continue to press our case and work with UEFA to achieve the fair and just outcome so that we may take our rightful place in the Europa League, as well as taking legal advice to consider our options, including an appeal to the Court of Arbitration of Sport.
I bet that statement's never been read with such enthusiasm.
Cheers, it's just a load of waffle, though, isn't it? Like, what were they going to say? Yeah, it's a terrible decision. We hate it. We're going to try and do something about it.
Well, I mean, it is a one thing that I have realised is that the majority of the world out there that's interested in the Premier League and beyond believe that Palace have been hard done by here. There's very few voices that feel like that this is the right thing to have happened.
That's because they look at it as, quite rightly for a lot of football fans, on the footballing side. Crystal Palace,
of course,
won the FA Cup. They deserve to be in the Europa League, therefore. That's how you look at it. Of course you do.
Sporting merit.
But football isn't run just on footballing merit anymore or sporting merit. It's run with regulations and rules, and Crystal Palace have broken those regulations. They have broken the rules. Whether they could have done something about it is up for argument. I totally understand that. But they have broken the rules.
No, you see, I disagree with that, Neil.
Go on.
Because this is why this is such an interesting topic and also an incredibly boring topic, one which has been talked and talked and talked about and recycled and regurgitated. But ultimately, the fact of the matter comes down to that Crystal Palace as a club didn't believe that they had broken them rules, because them rules that are set, where the deadline got changed and all the other bits, which is actually irrelevant to all the other things that Steve Parish talked about for 25 minutes the other night on Sky Sports, all irrelevant, because you go right back to that source at the beginning of it, which is there was a March the 1st deadline to put your shares into a blind trust, which is absolute rubbish in the first place. But you put your shares in a blind trust to prove that there's no conflict of interest.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
But we didn't do that. That's not because we broke the rules. We didn't do that because we didn't feel or think that we run a multi-club.
But that's the problem, Andy. That's the problem in a nutshell. Your club didn't do proper due diligence. It didn't look at the rules and didn't take into consideration good risk management. Didn't look at it and go, let's talk to the lawyers, let's talk to these people that manage our risks and work out if this could be an issue or not. Let's talk to them early, let's work it out.
Yeah.
We are in some connection to a couple of different groups of other teams. John Textor is a multi-club owner. The other chap that's part of Crystal Palace is owning Bromby as well, a slight owner in Bromby. So there are connections. They know there are connections. How much of it?
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
An issue that is down to the lawyers and other people to look at. John Textor on TalkSport when asked the question, did anyone look at that? Did anyone actually talk about that? He was quite clear that no one did. No one thought it was going to be a problem. Yeah, but that's the issue.
Well, that's because there's a rule that states there's a rule.
You should look at it. You should actually understand the rules and you should ask your lawyers, because I'm not a rule maker. I don't understand the regulations. And to be fair, it doesn't sound like the directors do either. And that's okay. But you pay the money to the people that look at those rules and go, is this going to be an issue or not?
No, I get it. I get it. And I understand your point. And I wish that they potentially had got some legal advice on this. Mm. But let's not forget, right?
Yeah.
They brought the deadline forward, Neil, right? It used to be about now.
Mm. Mm.
And it actually ended up being March the 1st. So on March the 1st, let's just recall this, FA Cup fifth round, Millwall, the Mateta incident. The day before that was when we were meant to put our stuff into a blind trust. So how would they have even thought that they would get legal advice for going into the Europa League before March the 1st?
Because
Palace would never have got into Europe.
Because any club should be looking at changes to rules and regulations when they come out. UEFA told Crystal Palace, like they told all the clubs, appreciate that it went to apparently a dodgy email address.
Well, not a dodgy one, it's the one for the club shop.
Info at CPFC. Right. So the point being, it went to the one that's supposed to be for communications. It went months before that, like it did to every other Premier League club. And any Premier League club should be looking at that and understanding what implications that could have on the club. Don't forget, in February, so even before the deadline as well, Crystal Palace were in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. So they could have got to Wembley in two more games after that if they'd been successful.
Yeah.
So that would have been a Conference League spot, of which they could have had a problem with that as well. So they could have been in Europe by February. They could have been thinking, oh, God, I'm in the semi-finals. We should be thinking about this.
Yeah.
John Textor even said it on the FA Cup day. He admitted it on TalkSport, saying, oh, I was really happy, but also at the same time, I was thinking, oh, this could be a problem.
Yeah, it's because Palace haven't won anything for 176 years or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like at that point, that isn't a conversation that's in the room. Let's be honest. It's not. And this is why.
See, I disagree. I think it should be. I think it shouldn't be considering whether you're going to get into Europe or not. You should be, not you personally and not the directors, but the directors should be good enough to be able to say to the club, somebody here needs to look at this and work out if this is going to be an issue for
us. Do you know what,
it doesn't sound like they did.
You're putting a good case forward. However, look, let's just put this in perspective. You get to that point, March the 1st, you're saying we're in the quarterfinals of the League Cup.
Yep.
We're in the fifth round of the FA Cup. Mm. Everyone's saying that now. Do you know why? Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
176 seasons before that, or whatever it is, it would have been absolutely not a problem, because this miracle has happened where we won our first cup forever. Now everyone believes that Crystal Palace owner should have put, or it, actually a Crystal Palace minority shareholder, can I just clarify, a minority shareholder should have put his stuff into a blind trust on the blind belief that Palace would have won their first club in hundreds of years. I mean, the whole thing is a farce, because Nottingham Forest and Mr. what's his name, Marinakis, he did it because his club at that point was sat probably in third in the league or something, weren't they? Right. Brighton might have done it because you got the Conference League before, right?
Yeah,
Manchester City. All the other teams were expected to be in Europe.
I totally understand your
point. I don't know if you do, Neil.
No, I do. I do. And it is unfair what's happened. I take that on board. My point isn't about this March 1st deadline. My point is that any club worth their salt should be doing due diligence on any changes that are being sent to them by the governing body.
What's due diligence, though? That's what I'm saying. This is Steve Parris's point, right?
So my due diligence would be saying, looking at these rule changes, do they affect us?
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't, even if I was running the club, I wouldn't make that decision. I would send that to specialists to look at that and say, what is the risk we are running here? What implications do we have?
Yeah, and that specialist would go, you haven't won anything in 100-something years.
Well, we don't know what they would say, because Crystal Palace didn't do that.
Well, yeah, but it's like you go in, you own your house, and someone says to you, look, like this never happened in 100-something years, right? But on the off chance that it does, it's never happened. On the off chance that it does, bearing in mind that the chances are really, really slim, sign your house over to somebody else, please. No, and you've got no control about who walks in that front door.
As I said,
someone can sell it for you. All the other bits and pieces, like it's an utter farce, mate.
Andy, it is a farce. I understand that. My point is that it's tough on the fans and the playing staff who all did their bit. But at the same time, to just blame UEFA and John Textor is a little bit naive, in my opinion.
I'm blaming John Textor. And I'll tell you why I'm blaming John Textor. Mm. Because I thought that he was helping us. That's the bit that I'm annoyed about.
Right.
And I think that we've been tripped up by this rule change. Right. Just to clarify, we've been tripped up by the rule change.
Yeah.
Because there has been a rule that's put in place to stop clubs like Red Bull and Man City Group and even like the way that your club's set up, in truth, right? That rule's been put there to stop you from transferring funds, transferring money to help each other for sporting gain, right?
Like John Textor has been doing.
But not for Palace.
But he's as a character,
as a character, he's been doing it, but not for Palace, right? And Palace have not benefited.
But I think that's where the issue has come in, isn't it? Like, I think we can both agree on this, that the issue has arisen more so because it's John Textor and the connections he has with other teams. That UEFA ultimately have followed the rules on this. They have not wavered. The issue is with John Textor and his connections. Obviously, we know all of this. I just think, look, I'm with you. The decision is ridiculous when you look at it from a footballing perspective. I'm with you. And I think all fans will look at that and go, it's unfair that Crystal Palace have been demoted to the Conference League.
Yeah.
UEFA have made the decision based on the rules and they think they've followed the rules.
On their interpretation of that rule.
But they're their rules. And they've decided that this is this. They're not wavering from them. They're not going to make any adjustments in the rules. They're not going to use logic or common sense.
Yep.
They're going to go, this is the rule. This is our decision.
Yeah.
This is why CAS, if you go there, which maybe you are, maybe you're not. I mean, there's
we're hoping they don't get there.
Right.
We're hoping that someone's going to intervene.
Who would you expect to intervene?
Well, I mean, you've got... There's plenty of people that could intervene in this situation where, the president of UEFA could look at them rules, bearing in mind that it's been widely reported them rules of March the 1st are going to change already for next year.
True,
Neil,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
So why would they... I mean, legally, that's an absolute... own goal, because they're basically saying there's a problem with this, we're going to change it next year. Anyway, here's what I think. I think that we will go to CAS and we will win our appeal, because it's overwhelmingly obvious that rule was not put up there for us, and that we've been tripped up by a rule to stop other clubs doing the same thing, which ironically have signed a bit of paper to get themselves out of it. So I always said this, and I think I've said this off the podcast to you, which is that if it does all go wrong and we do get demoted, then actually that ain't, I mean, look at the Lyon situation. It's not the end of the day. This is the halfway mark. We're, you know, in essence, UEFA have won the battle but not the war, right? So we wait and see. I was actually saying, because this is the point that I wanted to make, was that up until when I saw the John Textor TalkSport interview, I mean, I've actually met Textor, and he's exactly how you'd think he would be, a bit larger than life, very kind of confident. And I met him and his wife, actually, at the time. And he was very nice. And you kind of thought, do you know what? He is in this for the right reasons. He wants to help.
He
pumped loads of money into the academy, got us through COVID.
Absolutely.
He joined our club as an investor. We didn't join a multi-club model, just to clarify that to everybody, because this is the big point.
I agree.
He joined us before he bought any other clubs, right? He had his big ambitions afterwards. So therefore, Steve Parish and the other two board members went into this agreement unaware of his intentions to start...
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
A multi-club model, right? So then you end up with this situation where he gets himself in a bit of a pickle, right? Lyon is an absolute mess. And owing 170 million or something, I think it is, that they had this to find this loophole. The Eagle Football Group that John Textor owns is £870 million in debt or something. And it's all just a massive mess, right? So that's all happening. The whole, last week's podcast, when we discussed this, we talked, do you remember, about it all riding on Leon and how important it was that if, you know, poor Leon fans, but if Leon didn't win their appeal, would then obviously have the knock-on effect to Palace. Now, what we didn't really grasp, and I didn't really grasp at the time, and I don't think Steve Parish did until we had that light bulb moment at the end of it, went, oh, which was that John Textor couldn't get out of Palace quick enough, right? Could he? Mm. Once all that had happened, they went to that hearing to UEFA, got told it probably wasn't great and they've got to do a bit. And from that meeting, it seemed like it was, everyone was like, right, Textor, get out of Palace because that's going to help our appeal, right? Actually, what's ended up happening is that by Textor getting out of Palace, raising 180 million for the Eagle Football Group, putting that in the bank, what's that done?
Yeah.
Hang on, quick maths here. That goes over to there because he's admitted on TalkSport that they just swap funds around.
Yeah, yeah. Right? No, selling Palace has made Leon float again. Yeah.
We've got Leon promoted back to League One and given them our Europa League place. So now that whole situation of, oh, you know, and like Woody Johnson, bless him, he thought he was doing a favour to Palace by getting all this all over and done with really, really quickly and hastily do it. And it's like, hang on a minute. We would have been better if Textor was actually in the seat right now because we wouldn't have even gone to the decision for UEFA.
Yeah.
So that's the bit of it that really, really annoys me. But look, here's the thing, right? It's hard to work out who to blame because the truth of the matter is that anything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong.
And I think that's more my point as well, that I don't think it's one person. I don't think it's John Textor. I don't think it's UEFA. I don't think it's Crystal Palace. I think it's all of you. It's a perfect storm of things that have happened. People either not doing quite enough or doing too much, and the rules changing at the wrong time that has happened to create this situation. We don't know what's going to happen. What's your gut feel as of this moment as to what you think will, what competition do you think Crystal Palace will be playing in come September?
Premier League.
Brilliant.
Oh, sorry. I think we will be playing in the Europa League and I think we'll win our appeal. And I think that it's going to take so long for this whole process to play out that we're probably not going to end up doing very well in it because it's going to have ruined all of our plans.
So if you play in the Europa League,
yeah,
you will be playing alongside Leon, so it will be a complete move away and it will be a complete justification for Crystal Palace to say there's no connection between Leon, etc.
Well, I mean, there isn't now.
I'm saying that's the concept of what we're saying by this, because Leon are going to be reinstated and they are back in. Nottingham Forest will then continue along the Conference League is what you're saying. I think you'll stay in the Conference League. I don't see them overturning this because ultimately I think UEFA have stuck to the rules probably too much. They haven't given leeway, but they've actually just stuck to the rules. And I don't think anyone will change it. But it's just absolute mess and it still rumbles on. And I believe the fans are trying to do something about it themselves.
Yeah, the Hopesdale Fanatics have arranged a protest at, I think it's Norwood Clock Tower, tomorrow night at 7:30. So they're marching from Norwood Clock Tower to Selhurst Park. Quite sure. I mean, it's a great thing to do. And I think the idea was to create the media interest and kind of get things going. But mate, it's just, do you know what? It's not as clear cut as you're making it out that it is. And I think like when you listen to that long 25 minutes worth of Parish,
but
talking.
Parish is moaning about the fact that he doesn't talk to UEFA and it gone to an email that no one really looks at. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. Moaning about what email address an official communication from UEFA goes to.
All right, you get sacked at work and they send it to the info account. Do you still turn up the next day thinking you got a job? You didn't read the email.
Andy, it's the club's responsibility to read the emails that go into their email address for communications. isn't it?
Well, I think it's also the responsibility of the club to make sure that UEFA have got the right registered email address
and that
it goes to the right thing.
I'd
be really
point.
Interested to find out, though, whether, you know, do Man City have info at Man City?
Probably
and is that
not.
Where UEFA and all
exactly,
of the big
yeah.
government... I mean,
yeah.
that's just... It's utterly
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a bit ridiculous.
It's beyond... Oh, it's beyond belief.
But
also, I think, look, the last point that I wanted to make was that, like, the compelling thing for me when Steve Parish spoke... And he said that even if you forget about the fact that we don't believe we've got, well, in fact, we know we haven't got a multi-club model because we haven't got one. You know that. You said it in the previous episode. We do not operate in a multi-club model. But even if we did, right, and we felt that by March the 1st, we'd be like, we're going to fall foul of this, right, because hindsight and all of that. So, here's the situation. Four of them sat around the ball table. If hindsight was a thing, sat around a ball table before March the 1st, Parish and the other two texted the other side. Three of them go, John, stick your stuff in a blind trust. John goes, no. How do we abide by that rule? And that's the point, which is that we've got a minority, Neil. We've got a minority shareholder.
Andy, we're going round in circles.
No, we're not, because you're missing the big point here. How do you force a minority shareholder to stick his stuff in a blind trust when you've got no control over that decision? Therefore,
you don't force them.
But
you do due diligence and you get the lawyers to tell them that you've got to do it. Otherwise, it could be a problem for the club in Europe.
Right. So therefore, UEFA have put a condition and a rule in place with a ridiculous time frame which they changed this year, and something that Palace had no control over being able to comply to. We physically could not comply with that because Texter wouldn't pick his stuff in a blind trust.
He's getting redder and redder, everyone. He's getting so red. Look, Andy.
You're the happiest person that didn't make it to Europe.
I'm loving it. I have to be honest. I'm absolutely loving every minute. We're going to have to stop there because we're running so long on this, but it was important to have a proper conversation about it. We're never going to agree ultimately. We come from two different sides of the neighbourhood fence. I understand that.
Well, I'll tell you what will be the ultimate outcome of all this.
Go on.
Which is that when that appeal comes in and all of these smug people are going, well, you didn't do your
smug.
Due diligence. No, more so the Nottingham Forest fans.
Right.
Because they're getting a bit defensive.
They very are, yeah.
And all of that comes out in the wash. If we win our appeal, because I'm still not sure, without opening another can of worms, right, and this is completely honest, I'm still not sure that I trust what Texter said. I still feel like there might be a secret bit of paperwork somewhere that doesn't quite add up.
Oh, I agree.
And that's why UEFA have made that decision.
Yeah.
All the Palace fans are only getting the information they've been given.
I agree.
So the truth will come out when it goes to Cass, and they say one way or another, because Cass will look at not only sporting merit, but common sense and the greater thing, as opposed to UEFA's interpretation of their own rule.
We're going to have to stop because you're getting redder and redder. We need to stop and have a coffee, everyone.
How far would this microphone go?
Leave it.
Okay, sorry.
Listen, I am aware, though, that you said before we started this podcast that you want to have the final say.
Yep.
So what is the last word from Andy on this subject at this moment?
Well, when I was younger and I used to get angry, I was encouraged to take up a hobby or a talent or something to vent my frustrations, shall we say.
Okay, like rechannel it.
Exactly.
Rechannel it. Yeah, yeah. What have you done then?
I've been busy and kind of just put together a little bit of a way to vent myself, and I'll play it for you now.
Neil. Oh, God. Okay. Enjoy, everyone, whatever this is.
The FA Cup was won, it was a fairy tale. No one ever saw it coming, cause we normally fell. 164 was the number of the years it took to do. The history books rewritten by Glasner's Palace crew. Europa League, that was the prize. Glasner's boys go on tour, what a great surprise. Selhurst Park on Thursday nights, Europa League under the lights. Things are looking up and the trophy's in our sights. We lift the cup, Wembley, he's there. Texter stood near royalty with problems to repair. Weren't you the one who should have put your shares aside in a blind trust? The rules you didn't abide. Oh no, not you. You take no blame. March the 1st has come and gone, your share's still in your name. Multi-club's the issue and UEFA's getting mad. They'll kick us out of Europe, this is getting really bad.
We shouldn't talk about whether or not I have 43% vote or whether I have a 25% vote. We have to talk about zero. Because the document that I signed when I signed onto the shares says clearly I'm not entitled to have any role in management decisions.
Now Forrest wrote a letter and they got involved. Promotion to Europa League, it could be solved. If they help Marinakis with a transfer or two, Lyon's financial problems, yes, they wouldn't look so blue. Lyon, their skint, they're proper broke. They've been demoted to the second tier, finances are a joke. UEFA said, win your appeal, Europa League, we have a deal. Find the missing money, then you'll win your appeal. So here they go, Botafogo. Selling players to Forest helps Lyon's finances grow. Then Textor tries to sell his shares, makes it look like that he cared. 190 mil, Lyon's finances are repaired.
I am dumb enough and successful enough, dumb enough to not sort of predict in advance what a governing body is going to say.
They're back in the top tier. Cash moved around to help them out. Their fans let out a cheer. But Palace pay the price. UEFA tell them that they're out. Conference League it is. Let's hope our lawyers have some clout. The email went to info. No one even saw it. The response was very slow. Too many things to say. Are they trying to make us pay? Is an example being made? Will we ever get our way? So we'll crack on and we'll appeal. As long as we can prove it, we'll agree another deal. Let's hope Kaz will see some sense with sporting merit. As defence, we will survive. Europa dreams are still alive.
What the f*** was that?
Mate, bit of Gloria Gaynor.
Jeez. We're supposed to have a serious podcast here about a serious subject, and you're doing that.
The first 20 minutes of this podcast was dull, drab, not for you, but in terms of I'm just whinging. And I thought, I was sat home after this, like after we got that decision the other night, and I was like, how am I going to get through this podcast? How am I not just going to sit and whinge and moan about everything? And I thought, The best way to do it is to put it in a song and cheer everybody up.
Wow.
And also just have a little dig at Nottingham Forest as well at the same time. And just listeners, bear in mind that I did actually used to make a living out of singing. So that wasn't too much
anymore.
Of a serious thing.
Jesus.
Yeah, I did play that to my son the other day He said, that's not for the podcast, is it? And I went, yeah. He went, some of my friends listen to that. I'm done. So yeah, there we
go. Enjoy Harry.
That's it. And his career signed off.
See you in a mo.
Welcome back, everybody, to Seagull Eagle Podcast. This is Andy here, Conference League currently, potentially Europa League, and this is Neil joining you, Premier League.
Are you calmer now?
I just thought I'd remind you that even though we're going through hell, we're still in better hell than you.
Andy, what do you mean you thought you'd just remind me?
Yeah.
You haven't stopped talking about it the whole summer.
It's a good point.
I'm not going to forget, am I?
I know. It makes me feel better, though.
Let's talk about other stuff. Okay. We've talked more than enough about all that rubbish.
Sorry, Neil. I feel like I've disappointed you. I'm sorry.
Transfers. Let's talk about those.
Oh, go on. Tell us
confirmed.
How many people... Oh, no, you haven't signed anyone.
No. Confirmed transfers.
So these are all out.
Oh, do I get to talk about Brighton now for a minute?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, thanks very much.
It's all right.
Finally. Confirmed transfers. Yeah, as I said last week, there was going to be a few outgoings. It's got to happen at some point with such a huge squad. First one out the door was a little bit of a surprise in the sense that I think I was expecting... Well, I was expecting a lot more people to leave before he did, but Simon Adingra...
Oh.
Our winger, our sort of reserve winger is probably what you call it last season. We I thought he'd play a lot more games, but Mitoma was fit for most of the season, and Minte played most of the season too. He was outstanding for a young kid. So I think Edinga was a bit put out, really.
So he wants first-team football.
Yeah. And to be honest, he was disappointing when he did play. I'm sorry, Simon, but you were. In the Herzler team, you need to work hard defensively. Yeah. And Edinga doesn't really do that. He's very good going forward, but his defensive work is really low, in my opinion. He's a bit lightweight as well. He's not strong. You know, he's quite young and quite brittle when he looks like. He looks like he's going to break his leg any minute. He's so thin.
Well, let's hope he don't listen to the podcast. You've been a bit horrible to him. Now.
Sorry, Simon. Sorry.
You're very fickle. You're very nice to him when he was a bright.
No, I wasn't. I even mentioned, I think, in some match reports how he's just not, doesn't work hard enough for the team. Anyway, look, he's been sold to Sunderland, which, when you look at Sunderland's squad now, they're starting to build quite a good Premier League squad. They're spending their money well. So they've bought Simon Edinga for, it was an undisclosed fee, but what we believe is around 20 million, including all the add-ons, and that's somewhere between sort of 16 maybe, and then add-ons of 20. So
that's a lot.
That is a lot. And I look at your face, look. I think it's a really good deal for Brighton.
For Brighton.
Do you know how much we bought him for?
No.
£7 million. Yeah, I know. Brighton do it again, really. Even for a player that didn't really fit into our team that well last season. Yeah, he had a good season before that. But yeah, 20 million quid, hopefully, with all the different add-ons. So look, good luck to him. So that's one out the door. Ibrahim Osman is another one that has been a confirmed season loan to Auxerre in France.
Osman, he's one of your wingers, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's the one we bought last summer. He's only 19.
Okay.
So we brought him on, obviously, you know, from a point of view of looking for the future. He spent last season on loan at Feyenoord in Holland. He did well there, actually. And obviously, Feyenoord were in the Champions League as well. So he got to play a bit of Champions League football. So he comes back, 20 years old now. They're just obviously looking for another loan. And Auxerre agreed to it. Now, there is a little bit of an unconfirmed report that there's a buy option on him.
That's strange for you.
It is strange, I agree. We have done it a few times. The suggestion is that if there is a buy option, though, it's quite a high one. Mm. And looking at Auxerre's record transfer fee, it's almost double, I think, that. So I don't think it's actually a realistic one if there is one. But we'll see. We'll probably know more over time. But yeah, so Ibrahim Osman, season-long loan to Auxerre. And then I was going to talk about one more, but it's still unconfirmed. So I'll move it over to the transfer rumours in the next part when we talk about that. So for us, that's the two that have definitely been confirmed. And yes, you're quite right. No incomings from an Albion point of view. We've been busy with pre-season. What about Palace? There is definitely one, I know.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we called it here first on Seagull Eagle last week about Borna Sosa. We spoke about it and we actually did say that by the time the podcast went out, that it would probably be a done deal.
Yep.
We lied because it was a done deal, I think, 2 days after the podcast came out. And this, let's just set the scene, Neil, right?
Yeah, go on.
The Europa League news lands on the day that you sign for Palace.
Yeah, I know.
Lost in the news.
I did think about that.
Poor guy. He's rocked up and he's stood there in the stadium with his new shirt and his new haircut.
He looks on X and he sees what all the fans are talking about him, and all he can see is everyone moaning about UEFA.
Yeah, poor guy. But look we won't go over it too much because obviously we talked about it, didn't we, about who's played for and capped by Croatia and, you know, really, really good, strong player up the wing and all that kind of stuff. Now, what is interesting is obviously Steve Parish has made a little statement, so we'll read that out just for
I just say something on that? Because I saw that as well. I was really surprised that Steve Parish made the statement about the player. Why didn't the manager make a statement about the player?
I guess it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because pre-season, you don't really get too much interaction with the managers in the media, do you?
Oh, blimey, my one doesn't want to get off the TV. He's everywhere at the moment. But yeah, anyway, sorry, Karen, what did Steve Parish say?
We believe Borna will be a fantastic fit for Crystal Palace. His credentials speak for themselves and his arrival adds additional quality, experience and depth to our squad. I look forward to welcoming him to South London.
Anyone else?
Joe Whitworth.
Who's that?
He is a goalkeeper.
Oh, okay.
And he's a young lad. And I don't know if
you've bought him, have you?
No. He's going out on loan.
Ah, right. Okay.
And We're going back now to the early days of this podcast, but I don't know if you remember, there was a story that I told you when me and my son were there getting signatures of the players in the car park afterwards. And there was this player who drove off.
No one knew who he was.
No one knew who he was. And he drove off in a Vauxhall Corsa, like waving at the fans, just like lovely kid. But everyone else is in their, you know, Land Rovers, Ferraris, Porsches, and he came in his Vauxhall Corsa. and I really felt for him, but I was like, fair play to you. Look, this kid now, he's basically, he was at Exeter City on loan last year, and he's going back again.
Oh, okay.
Is basically what's happening. Last year, he had 16 clean sheets in 51 appearances, got the Golden Glove and the Player of the Season. And he broke a record, actually, because last season, he was the first keeper to keep five consecutive clean sheets in the third tier. And that's since 1978. Wow. So he's clearly made a really big impact. Exeter won him back. And he probably knows that it's a bit early for him. He's still a youngster, so he's a bit early for him to start breaking through. But he's certainly one for the future.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck to him. Good luck, Joe.
And then there's one that I'm going to call it, just like the Borna Sosa thing, I'm going to call this and say we're early on this one.
Right, we're moving it into the confirmed, are we?
Yeah, we haven't got much to talk about, so let's just do it. Danny Imre. So again, just like half the people you've mentioned at Brighton, they're on the fringes, youth team, so on. He's a 21-year-old right back, and I've been very reliably informed is going out on loan to Huddersfield Town.
Ah, okay.
No big breaking news, because obviously he wasn't going to make it into the first team, but it was about where was he going to go this year, or was he going to play for the development team? He was at Bromley last year and out on loan. And I know it's just Bromley and all that, but he had a brilliant season. So he's now stepped it up. He's going to Huddersfield Town to play at a high level. And I think that's really good for him, because he's meant to have a really good future. So there you go. Okay. Palace is starting to do some deals.
So what other news have we got to talk about? You mentioned tickets and things.
Oh, yeah. Look, a quick one. Obviously, just in case there's any Palace fans out there that haven't got their stuff together and checked their emails, if you want to go to the Community Shield, log on now if you're a season ticket holder, because they went on sale on Monday, which is today. Obviously, the game's 10th of August, 3 p.m. kickoff. I've got my tickets, sat in the pretty much the same seats we were sat in for the cup final.
Nice.
We've got the same, I believe it's the west side of Wembley.
Right.
So, yeah, 15th, obviously, all season ticket holders, 16th members can get access to tickets, and the 17th season ticket holders can buy more. So,
cool. Okay. Well, that's good.
There
news.
You go. And for those of you who aren't a member, especially if you've got kids, would suggest you probably join, because you basically get a free shirt for your kid out of that membership fee. The membership fee is the same price as the shirt, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
You get all of that stuff that they send you as part of the membership, like a big goodie bag for the kids. And then, of course, you can then go ahead and buy your Wembley tickets. It just makes sense, right? I do it for my son every year, get a free shirt, right?
Liz, talking of shirts, come on. We got to talk about it.
Right. Neil. What do you think of Palace's new shirt?
So there's two things that came to mind. One, I really love the sleeve. I think the blue and white striped sleeves are lovely. We're just trying to be a little bit more like Brighton every day. That can't get away from that. And then the rest of it, I thought, do you know, as a kid, when you used to go to the beach, and your parents used to bring out that windbreaker thing that used to stick on the forks, like the material that go around to keep you away from all the wind and everything. It made me think of that for some reason. I don't know why, but...
I was thinking more barbershop quartet.
Well, that's another option. Yeah, that's another option. I have to be honest, and I appreciate I'm completely biased, but I thought it was awful. I honestly did. And last season's kit, I actually thought was all right. Like, for a Palace kit, obviously, but I thought it was quite a nice kit. This one, awful. Yeah, not good. And as I said, the blue and white sleeves, lovely.
I just can't believe it. I think I alluded to it into the intro, didn't I? And I just cannot believe or fathom that in the same week as all that calamity in Europe, and as you say, potential blame at Palace's door for not doing what they're meant to have done, they've taken their eye off the ball once again.
It's another thing, isn't it?
And ended up with Macron designing a kit that it looks fine if you look front on. If you turn to the side, it's a Brighton kit.
It's another piece of evidence to prove that Palace aren't very well run. I mean, it's ridiculous, mate. How you can get away, especially when you see like the long sleeve version, and it's practically a Brighton shirt on the right on the sleeves.
Well, Mateta, Mateta was modelling that one.
Yeah,
and it's funny because since them original photos were taken, there hasn't been a single shot officially taken of that long sleeve. I think they might be banning that.
So what's everyone else's thoughts? You don't like it then either, by the sound of things.
I genuinely believe it's the worst shirt that we've ever had.
And you've got that for your European journey, albeit in the Conference League, but...
It's, yeah, I'm a bit annoyed. Because we have, look, what are we known as, right? You think...
Don't get me started.
No. Look, I don't know if anyone else is picking up on this that's listening, but Neil's getting a bit brave on this podcast this week. He's getting a bit like, have you noticed this? He's normally all nice and polite and...
Just know, going in for the kill. I can see how dishevelled you are this week.
I'm like that kind of half-eaten carcass of an animal, and he's like pouncing on me while I'm down.
What does everyone think about this?
Well, look, I was just about to say that, actually, which is that we are known as the Red and Blue Army.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that we're the Red and Blue Army.
You don't
right?
need to sing it. So, I know it.
Well, yeah, but the point being is that no one goes... We're the Red and Blue and White Army. Yeah. There ain't no white in our kit. That's not what happens.
But you know what it is, don't you? You can guarantee that at some point they were thinking they were going to do like an away shirt that's white or something, or they're going to release a European special kit, I reckon you. I bet they release a European special kit and it's like a white away kit or something like that with the stripe going across or something. That's why they've got the white on there, just to sort of give you a little hint of something coming up, I reckon. That's what happened.
If it's
not that, mate.
Oh, honestly, I get it. I understand that angle. Look, they have done it before where they've kind of put the white trim in between the red and blue. It's kind of it's an obvious design thing to go, how do we make that look different?
Yeah, Stick a little white.
But what they haven't done before is, in essence, cut the sleeves off of a Palace shirt and stick a Brighton sleeve on the Palace shirt. Because, I mean, and I know that we tend to exaggerate on this podcast, that is what they have done.
Yeah.
It is, and when you put the long sleeve version of that, I mean, you just about get away with the short sleeve version.
Mm.
And to be honest, the front view of that short sleeve one, when I watched it, because obviously they wore it at the Millwall game at the weekend, and when I watched it, like live on telly, as it were, and you saw it in action, I was kind of like, do you know what? It's kind of grown on me a little bit. I'm never going to love it, but I'm not disgusted by it until you see someone stood sideways and it looks like you're watching Brighton.
Yeah.
And I just, do you know what? Like, the truth, I'm not immature enough to go, they're Brighton colours, Neil. I'm going to do the whole thing or whatever. But what I'm annoyed about is the fact that no one at Palace saw what hundreds of thousands of Palace fans around the world have immediately seen and gone, Brighton. And how can nobody sat round that table or who signed that off not have looked at that and gone, Brighton?
Maybe they have. Maybe they just really like Brighton. I mean, you don't know. I mean, it could be just something. All right, I'll stop. I can see that you're getting to your limit. Look, okay.
I do, however, like the yellow one that they've put out.
Is that a new kit, though? That's the same, isn't it, as last year's?
I think it's a new one, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
I might be wrong.
I don't know.
It looks a bit different to me. They've got the big... I was about to say the big seagull then. See? Can you imagine that? They probably would put a seagull there. They've got the big eagle in the back. And
right.
It's kind of embossed, and it's quite nice.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yes. Look, let's...
Should we move on from the kit?
Let's move on. Okay. But I'm not... I'll be honest with you, mate. I'll get my free one for my son.
Yeah.
As part of the membership.
Yeah.
Cut the arms off and give them to you, and then he can wear it as a vest.
Any other Palace news before we move on to friendlies?
Only that in all of this calamity, with obviously Steve Parish being interviewed by Sky Sports, one bit of news was kind of extracted from that big long interview that is probably relevant, which is that Woody Johnson has now got his Premier League approval.
Oh, wow.
So,
great.
Well, it is great, Neil, because let's be honest.
If only you've done it in February.
If he was here at the start of all this, we wouldn't be even having all these conversations and you wouldn't be getting on my nerves. So anyway, yes, Woody Johnson.
No, that is good news.
Yes, he's now in the building.
Okay. Right, friendlies. They finally started. It feels like the season's coming alive, that we've actually got something to talk about, actual games and things. Well, I say actual games, like you say, it's not always a... It doesn't always feel like it, does it? But shall I talk about Brighton first, as we've been talking a bit about Palace? So Brighton had their first friendly behind closed doors on Saturday.
It's the way it should be.
Absolutely. They played Wycombe Wanderers, the League One side. They beat them 6-1. At the training centre in Lancing. The thing I probably wanted to mention was, one, it was a bit of a surprise. No one knew it was happening until afterwards, when the little tweet came out saying, oh, Brighton beat Wycombe today in a behind-the-doors friendly. And then they actually sent out onto YouTube and put some highlights out there as well, which was nice. And the other interesting thing they did, which for the first time in a long time I've seen this, is they actually clearly also tweeted out the first half 11 and the second half 11, the exact sides that were playing, which I thought was really useful, because for dweebs, for nerds like me, you know, I like to know who's...
Use the word dweeb.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. No,
I haven't heard that since that's why Bill and Ted's wonderful adventure, excellent adventure.
For nerds like me, I like to know who exactly is playing and who's not and how many minutes they've got and all that sort of thing. So it was really useful to see. The main things I would say are the first half 11... and the second half 11, both of them had Rushworth in goal, which I thought was interesting.
So
he's getting a few minutes. From a perspective of our new signings, there was only one new signing that actually got any minutes at all, and that was Oliver Boscagli. So he got some minutes in the first half. Milner got 30 minutes as planned and then went off. But the sides changed completely from the first half to the second half. Danny Welbeck, though, got... 4 of the 6 goals, which I thought was a good start for him for the season.
Are you playing five-a-side or something? What's going on here?
And the lesser-known Facundo Buonanotte, who's back in the building, got a goal as well, which was nice to see him about. He looks a little bit like he's bulked up over the summer. Well, I say the summer, over the last few months.
As in bulked up in a good way?
In a good way, definitely. Yeah. He's getting a little older. He's just starting to look a little bit more... ready to play in the big league. Even though he played last season, he still looked a little bit lightweight. I don't know what's going to happen to him. He might go out on loan again, as I said last week, but I'm hoping he'd stay personally. I really like him. But yeah, 6-1 against Wycombe. So that was really good news for us. Some lovely goals. And we move on to the next few friendlies, which we got told about this week. You know, but do you remember last week I was talking about the fact that we're doing some investigating and we reckoned that me and my mates reckoned that Albion were going away to Spain. Do you remember I said that?
Oh, yeah. We got a report from Gary.
Almost. Yeah, we're trying to work it out at the moment, because Albion actually put it out there, eventually told everyone that, they're going to Spain, to Marbella, to go away on a training camp and play a couple of fixtures as well, friendly.
So, right, so which teams are you going to play then?
So next Saturday, they're going to be playing Las Palmas, which was the team that I said last week, this is how we got the idea that maybe they're going over there. So yeah, they're going to be playing Las Palmas behind closed doors.
That won't stop Gary.
No, I agree. And that's what we're going to try and get him in there. So
do we have to provide the ladder for him to climb over there? How's this working?
Well, Seagulls over Spain have tried to be polite and message Brighton to ask them if they can get a few people in, either to see the training or the actual game or whatever, just to see if they've got a chance. If not...
Yeah. Are we going to do like a GoFundMe for like a cherry picker or something?
Gary's going to take his bike and he's going to have a huge 20-foot ladder on the side of his motorbike while he drives down there for 3 hours. And then he's going to hopefully look over the fence with his binoculars and he's going to give us a report when he comes back. So,
okay, can I just ask a specific request from that? Like, I think the report's important, right? And will be factually great and all that. But I think what a lot of the people listening want to see is a picture of Gary and how he ends up watching the game. So if we could have a chat with Gary and maybe get some kind of evidence we could put on the socials.
I'll try my best. If he doesn't go, then, you know, I'll just disown him as a brother. So we'll have to see. Las Palmas on Saturday. And before that, though, on Wednesday the 16th, we're playing mighty Stoke.
What?
Stoke City.
Oh.
Yeah.
Costa della Stoke.
Yeah. We played Stoke on Wednesday, but the good news about that is that they are actually showing the game completely live on Albion TV. So very much like your Palace game on the weekend, we're going to be able to see it live and watch it if we want to. I say we, I think it's four people that are signed up to the Albion TV are either members or season ticket holders, etc., that have the access to it. But still, a lot
when
of
you
us...
said it was four people that are signed up, I thought you actually meant four people have signed up and they weren't going to bother going ahead with it. Okay.
Oh, no. Right. So the good news is we get to actually see them live, which is great. And as good. I say, yeah, so there's two games over in Spain. We'll have to see how that all goes, and I will try my best to get Gary up that ladder, over that 8 foot high wall, and either that or I'll get him to dig a little tunnel and get under somewhere.
Well, just let us know if we do need to open that GoFundMe for
So what about Palace then? They obviously played Millwall, didn't they, on Saturday? You were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, you know, you said about how they advertised the two different halves, two different teams thing. It's clearly a thing that they're all now doing. And Palace did exactly that. So it was on Saturday. We played Millwall. It was behind closed doors. It was in the training ground.
Right.
It was obviously televised on Palace TV. It was really funny, actually, because you could see all the players' cars lined up along the side of the pitch. It was that kind of weird. Like all their, you know, nice Land Rovers and everything. They're all trying not to hit the ball too hard so they don't hit their own car. As I said, it was the first time we knew that we wore the new Palace kit. Lots of players missing and returning late from internationals. And Glasner named two completely different teams. Benitez, the new keeper, and Borna Sosa both got their first starts.
Oh, did he? Okay, yeah.
So he took that reasonably seriously. The weather was boiling though, right? Can you remember? You remember Saturday's weather?
Yeah.
It was so hot. So the tempo was ridiculously slow. It was almost like a training match. It just they were stopping for water breaks. It was like COVID all over again.
It was like this studio.
Yeah, it's hot in here, isn't it, today? Now, not too much to learn from this game from my perspective. Not the greatest of match reports from me here, because I'm going to be honest with you, Neil. I watched quite a bit of it in a car wash. And that's not even a joke. I did. We were on our way to take... I had to take my daughter to this birthday party she was going to. Decided to stop off into... it was a Kartra car wash, though.
Oh, nice.
I know, premium, right?
Yeah.
I ended up... I was like, oh, what's the best one you can get for this? You
know, God, we're so middle-aged, aren't we?
I parted with like £8.50 of my good money. And I had a good 20 minutes in that car wash. And I said to my son, let's watch some of this game. And I watched the rest of it when we got back. It was a tricky one because it wasn't like watching it on the telly. You didn't get as good of replays and stuff, but what the signs were was that Adaramola, one of the youth team, and Mustafa, them two players did well, right?
Okay.
So there was a couple of youngsters that did well. We saw Edouard, who everybody had forgotten was still a Palace player after he went to Leicester, and clearly that was a big success for him. So he's now back, and rumours are that he's probably not going to stick around, but he did all right. França looks decent, actually, and back on. It looks like he's found his new studs. He didn't fall over quite so much, and I think he's got a good role to play. Borna Sosa looks sharp. Benitez did look solid and actually made a couple of decent efforts. The one that was reasonably interesting was, do you remember our good man Rakitić we've been speaking about? He's the one that's been on loan at Sheffield United.
Yeah, probably on his way out, you said.
Probably on his way out, but he's back from his loan, back in pre-season. Glasner didn't fancy him, remember? He gave him half a game here and he scored. So it was 1-0 Palace and he got the only goal. To be fair though, I mean, it was a rubbish goal. Like, half a metre away from the goal line, and he went, ga-ding. Oh, see, the listeners can't see what I did there.
You didn't. That doesn't really work for radio.
Like a flying effort across the room, everybody, for those of you who didn't see that.
It's early days. First game after coming back after summer. I think it's all about just minutes in the legs, isn't it, and things like that. So I wouldn't play too much into it.
All I can say is I hope we pick up the pace a little bit from that game, because it's going to be a long season otherwise. there you go.
Okay,
what about
contracts,
mate? Have you got any new contracts signed?
I have. Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on that because over the last week, about 13 of our youth team players have actually been given their first pro contracts.
Oh, wow.
So that's really good to see some of the ones coming through. One that I wanted to pick out is probably the obvious one, but just to really reiterate it, Harry Howell has been given a pro contract, not really a surprise. He's already made his Premier League debut. So congratulations to all of them. But in particular, Harry, I'm hoping that, you know, if he doesn't get a really good loan to a really good team, then maybe he might get some more minutes for the first team this season. Well, fingers crossed to him. But congratulations to all of them. Fantastic milestone, really, for any young player to be given your first pro contracts.
Yeah, well done, Harry.
Anything from Palace point of view, contract, any news, anything going on?
No.
Okay, well, we move on then, shall we?
Yeah.
I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I will be in trouble.
Right, we're going to do a whistle-stop tour through the transfer rumours. There are a few going about, in particular in Palace, I'm aware of, but I'm also conscious that we don't want this podcast to be 7 hours or anything. So let's start with Palace, if you want to. What have we got from a rumours point of view that is worth mentioning?
It's all worth mentioning, Neil, but we can mention it quickly. The latest ones that I'm seeing at the moment are Reece Nelson from Arsenal, £15 million asking price apparently. He wants out of Arsenal, wants to stay in London, open for a deal. Could he be the Eze replacement or even a part exchange is the question.
It's weird, isn't it, Reece Nelson? He's been around for ages. Mm. Brighton were after him for a few seasons. Wasn't he last season on loan at Fulham as well, I think?
He was at Fulham.
Hardly played. Yeah, okay, interesting.
I think he played 11 games last season or something.
I mean, from Palace point of view, you can't really call him an Eze replacement, can you?
Blimey. Well, that was what I was concerned about.
Yeah.
But you never know. Look, there was a point where he was meant to be the future.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. So, not a bad player. I'm just saying, it's just one of those players that sort of just is always around, but you never really know what's
going on. Get it.
Yeah.
Get it.
Who else we got?
Well, look, obviously, the Diamande situation, we were wanging on about it as if it was nearly a done deal 2 weeks ago because everyone was saying it was going to be. And of course, everything's stalled and halted. It looks to me, we thought we'd kind of agreed a price. It looks to me like maybe we hadn't, and there's a lot of reports saying that they wanted more than what we'd agreed. Mm. But I think it's all like we ain't going to spend a transfer record on Diamande unless Gaye is leaving the building. And it looks to me like Gaye was front and centre of the new kit launch.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were talking about this last week with Matoma and things and worried about him leaving and he was suddenly being photographed in the kit. And now Gehi, like, what was that about? I noticed Eze wasn't there, by the way, but Gehi, I mean, that's interesting. Do you reckon there's a chance he might stay?
I've got a feeling that he might end up seeing out his contract now. Really? I've just got a feeling. Yeah. Because you know as well as I do, Palace aren't the easiest clubs to do business with because we will try and keep hold of them for as long as we can. We'll try and get them sign new contracts to get, you know, for mutual benefit, even though they're going to go and put a good release clause in, etc., so that everyone's happy. I don't know. I think Gaye's not the type of guy to orchestrate a move, I guess is what I would say. He's the club captain. So I think he's doing everything right. Let's see. But for now, Diamande is on the back burner. I think we can say we've now got something quite interesting which has come up this week, which I can quite believe. Palace have got this history of a reasonably close relationship with Chelsea when it comes to loaning out some of their millions of players they've got spare.
You had Conor Gallagher for a while, didn't
Connor
you?
Conor Gallagher. I think we had Ashley Cole back in the day.
Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, you see, it's like kind of like one person. Obviously, this year we had Chalobah. Until they wanted him back. And he's obviously just lifted that cup. So, yes, this year, the rumours are about Josh Achapong.
Okay. I've not heard of this guy.
Well, I've spoken to some people at my work about this because there's a couple of Chelsea fans at my work.
Yep.
And they basically said that if this guy comes to Palace, you've done all right. He ain't getting anywhere in the Chelsea because there's so many people in front of him.
What is he?
But he is centre-back and right-back.
Oh, okay.
And he has represented England under 20 level and has been, he's been tipped to play for the senior national team in the near future. So this guy's got a bright future and they have said that's a good move.
So there you go.
Well, look, the David Calibra situation. Do you remember the Italian and that again, we spoke about it last week. It's a free agent. No progress on that as yet. Mm. And again, I think we're waiting to find out what's going on. Mm. But the reason that I bring that up actually is because we set a question last week, didn't we?
Oh, we did. We set a little competition.
And I didn't want to forget it.
No.
Because we have had some entries.
I noticed.
We've had some entries.
Did we have a winner?
Yeah.
Oh, go on then.
So these are which five senior Italians have played for Crystal Palace over the years? Only five.
Okay.
So you got Lombardo from the 97-98 season, who signed from Juventus.
Yeah.
You got Benetti, 97-98, signed from Tranmere Rovers,
obviously,
believe it or not. you got Bilio from 98-99. Padovano, he's the one that I referred to last week as I thought we'd made it when we had Lombardo and Padovano from Juventus. And then you've got Nicola Ventola from the 04-05 season.
Right.
He was on loan from Inter, so we didn't really own him. But yeah, so
somebody actually got those right.
Someone got it all right. Yeah. Which was, it was difficult because I don't actually know who it is.
What do you mean you don't know who it is?
Well, it's from TikTok.
Oh, okay. Have we got their TikTok handle, have we?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on then, who was it?
Well, it's Finn_Till562.
Oh, very common
surname. So potentially someone called Finn?
I would say that. I reckon it's Finn. Yeah, Finley. Finn. Yeah. Yeah. Well, congratulations, Finn.
Well done, Finn. Do you know what you win?
What do they win?
This.
Oh.
That's what the competition was. And the funny enough, like we've been quite upfront and honest with this, Neil, haven't we? Well, we didn't say they win a prize.
I mean, give us a break. We've only just started this podcast. I mean, I can't afford prizes yet. But.
Well, this is what I'm saying, though. We said you get a shout out and this is the prize.
Well, so. Well done to Finn_Till562.
Do you reckon they know the other 561 of them?
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go. Look, we move on. And then very, very quickly, and I mean this very quickly, the outs for Palace, obviously, because it's a bit more for us at the moment, because obviously Brighton did a lot of their business early. Mm. We've only kind of just getting started now. Rakitić to Wolves seems to be racking up quickly. 10 million price tag. Wolves are now said to be interested in Rakitić. Rangers are still looking for the loan option, but right. Wolves seems to be the way that's going. Eze, look, boring. It looks like he's going. He did have some extra time off, though, for the internationals. Palace did come out and say that, by the way. You know, you said earlier he weren't there at the kit launch. Mm. He wasn't there at the game. There was a lot more of them that weren't there for that. So I don't think that's an obvious thing, but I do think he's going.
The kit launch would have been done a few months ago, so that's not a... They chose not to put him in there, so I reckon that's probably an indicator more than anything else. You're absolutely right about the training or anything. That's not really an indicator.
And there's two here. I said I was going to be quick. There's two.
What?
The Mateta, and this has annoyed me because this has been today, Monday.
I was going to say, I've missed this one. What's this?
Well...
Is he on his way?
Well, I hope not. I really hope not. Apparently,
this would top your day off. Lovely, this would. What's this?
Today, he's being heavily linked with Liverpool, and there's
Liverpool.
There's rumours circulating today that he's basically that Mateta has met with his agent and Liverpool in Paris today to discuss the conditions of a move. I mean, he was only in London the other day, so I mean, I know that you can get on a private jet, but that shocked me a little bit.
Maybe Edouard is staying a little bit longer then.
We might need him. That would end me, actually.
It's all right, you've got Nketiah.
Neil. I don't like it when the tides turn. I'm not used to be on the end of this. And then the other one that's proper made me annoyed this week, it's like the week of hell from Palace because Munoz, right?
No way.
Well,
is he going somewhere?
Listen to this.
Go on.
Really strange situation. This guy signed a brand new contract with us in April.
Does he have one of those release clauses that you're not supposed to know about, like Nottingham Forest?
Well, don't get me started on that. He signed the contract in April until 2028.
Yeah, I remember. And I remember you were well happy about it.
And he was quoted this week, only I believe yesterday, by reasonable source, and it's all over everywhere. It's like it's Win Sports TV, which is a kind of a big thing over there.
Yeah.
And it's been quoted by saying, live on TV this was, right? This isn't like I said it to my mate in a pub. This is on TV.
Oh my God.
I want to play for the best teams in the world, but they haven't spoken to me directly. I dream and work every day to achieve it, and I hope it can happen as soon as possible, right? So you think to yourself, okay, that's fine. Many players have gone, I want to play for the big team.
Yeah, of course, well, maybe he's just putting an ad out there for the future.
Wait for this, Neil.
Oh, what?
The next sentence that comes out of his mouth, I hope it's in this window, but if not, I'm very happy at Crystal Palace.
No!
What?
He actually said, I hope it's in this window.
I'm going to throw him out the window. That's our player of the season.
Oh, God.
And to be fair, I'm not surprised that he's clearly, something's happened between the end of season awards and now because people are looking at him because his stats are phenomenal and he's probably one of our best players.
Well, I mean, while your stock's high, you might as well try and sell yourself out there. I get it, but that's a little bit in your face, isn't it? Like you said, if it's live TV and he's saying that.
I'll be honest with you, there's hardly a single player in our whole team at the moment that hasn't been, like Wharton did an interview with a TikToker who I rate quite highly, actually. I like his content.
Yeah.
And they literally just stood in the tunnel and the bloke says to him at the end, hope to see you wearing that shirt, you know, or we'll see you wearing the shirt. We'll see you wearing that shirt in the game soon. And he went, I hope so. And Walton answered, I hope so, as in, I hope to see you. Not, yeah. I hope to be wearing this shirt. But now the world's going mad and everyone's going, Walton's off, it's going to be 100 million, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because Spurs are looking at him, aren't they, apparently?
Mate, so. Everyone's looking at everyone.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with success.
Welcome to the club, mate. That's what happens with Brighton all the time.
Difference is, though, you guys sell
them. Here he goes.
And
here
no, I was actually going to say as a compliment. You guys sell them at big profit.
Yeah,
and
we've
got a business model out of it.
Yeah.
We've got a habit of we will pick one or two that we want to sell.
Yeah.
And that is what the club won't let it go any further. Anyway, enough from me. Over to you. Before I get even more annoyed.
Ah, that's amazing. Half your team are leaving this month.
Half my team have been linked with leaving.
Sounding people going on live TV and saying it themselves. That's look, I'll shush. Sorry, he's getting
Please do.
He's getting very angry. There isn't much from my point of view to talk about rumours.
Good, let's move on then. All right, okay, sorry.
Incoming-wise, it's gone very quiet. I think, as I said, we're waiting for everything else, really, from a point of view of getting other players out. Speaking of which, Carl Rushworth, Rangers, a link with Rangers, possibly our goalkeeper that I don't want to lose, but I also understand he wants to play first-team football.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's going to be a loan, but also at the same time, his contract is up, I think, in 12 months' time. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, Carl Rushworth's been linked with Rangers. And the other one that I've been looking at my phone constantly through this episode because I was half expecting it to be announced. It seems pretty nailed on, is Evan Ferguson.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about him a few times in this pod. At the beginning of this rumour, a few weeks ago, it was maybe that Evan Ferguson was going to Roma on a season-long loan. And I was like, that'll be interesting. That'll be quite good for him.
Yeah.
Now it's starting to sound a little bit like Ferguson is going to Roma on a permanent deal.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better for him, isn't it?
Better for him, not maybe for Brighton, but... I'm hoping that if that does happen, I'm hoping there is either a buyback clause or a sell-on clause or something like that. Brighton usually do something good like that, so we'll have to see. But it would be a real shame if Evan Ferguson leaves Brighton without really seeing as much of his potential as we think he has got. He's had a difficult, 18 months, 2 years, but there's a really good striker in there, and I hope for his sake, one way or the other, this deal comes through. Whether it be a loan or a permanent deal, and he gets some minutes under his belt and starts scoring goals. So when I hear something proper, probably by next week, it'll be out there, so we'll confirm it then. But apart from that, I think that's really it from a rumours point of view, from Brighton perspective, that's worth talking about.
Well, you don't do rumours, do you? You just buy them.
Yeah, it just happens, mate. Just the way it works.
Talk about it. Get the checkbook out.
It's the Bloom way. It's just the way it works. There isn't really much else on my list of things to talk about. Oh, a slight little detour away from football, if you just bear with me for a second. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Good. Congrats to Brighton and Hove Albion fan and season ticket holder Julian Cash on winning the men's doubles at Wimbledon.
Oh.
Yeah, on the weekend. First British pair to win in 89 years, and one of them was a Brighton season ticket holder. So well done, Julian. Congratulations, and hope to see you at the Albion soon, where I'm sure you will do a little walk around the pitch. And well done, mate.
Do you reckon he'll bring the trophy?
Oh, I imagine so.
Be the first trophy you parade around there in a while.
Yeah, I knew it was coming somewhere along the line. We got there in the end. That's it.
Oh, hang on.
What?
Do you not want to talk about your lad, João Pedro, winning and, all the success he's had ever since he's left you?
To be honest, I hadn't noticed.
Yeah?
Yeah, no.
I
forgot all about him.
Did you notice him getting slapped and falling over like a sack of spuds?
I did notice that. Yeah, Brighton
that
fans were quite aware of that one. They
loved it.
You can take the Brazilian out of Brighton, but you can't take Brazil out of the player. He's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done well.
He's a good player.
He's had two games. He scored three goals in the Club World Cup. All the cameras were on him. He's done really well. We'll see how he gets on through a whole season.
Oh, absolutely. And whether he makes it without getting decked again.
Yeah. I'm sure we can talk about Chelsea. We'll have plenty of opportunity to talk about Chelsea through this upcoming season, won't we?
Well, Neil, talking about getting decked, I feel like I have this episode. Honestly, I feel like I've been dragged through a hedge backwards. And, I've given you a hard time on some of these podcasts over the time. When you were going through your bad time at Brighton and couldn't get a point. I feel like the tables have turned on this one, and it's not been pretty. So I'm really sorry. This is the most miserable anyone's ever heard me on this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, that is, mate. And
so
listen,
they've heard
everyone.
Me whinge and they've heard me sing on this one. It's the most degrading hour and a half of my life.
That's it, everyone. An episode messier than Palace's colour scheme and UEFA's rulebook combined.
Let it go, Neil. Follow, subscribe and carve our logo into a desk like it's year 9 maths. Whatever helps you remember that we exist, people. We're on all the socials, TikTok, Instagram, X and probably LinkedIn too.
If you've got thoughts, questions or just want to tell Andy that Palace's new kit does in fact look like it's been designed by a Brighton fan with a grudge, then send your nonsense to seagulleaglepodcast@gmail.com.
Very good. We'll be back next week with more updates from the world of transfer roulette, UEFA rulebook bingo and whatever madness Tony Bloom's quantum spreadsheet has churned out.
Until then, take care, stay hydrated, and remember, no matter how bad things seem, at least you're not trying to sell a minority shareholding before a UEFA deadline.
We'll be back next week, and until then,
Eagle!